हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 44. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Daruka brought the Lord's chariot, yoked with the horses named Shaibya, Sugriva, Megapushpa, and Balahaka. Footnote 18. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. After hearing this order, the driver brought Krishna's four special horses. The names and descriptions of these horses are mentioned in the Padma Purana. The first one, Shaibya, was greenish. The second, Sugriva, was grayish, like ice. The third, Megapushpa, was the color of a new cloud. And the last, Balahaka, was of ashen color. He then stood before Lord Krishna with joined palms. Lord Saurī mounted his chariot and had the Brahmana do likewise. Then the Lord's swift horses took them from the Anartha district to Vidarbha in a single night. Footnote 19. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, hearing the message of Rukmini in the evening, that same night Krishna mounted his chariot and rode off and arrived at Kundina in the early morning. King Bhishmaka, the master of Kundina, having succumbed to the sway of affection for his son, was about to give his daughter to Shishupal. The king saw to all the required preparations. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. King Bhishmaka was not enthusiastic about handing his daughter over to Shishupal, but he was obliged to accept the marriage settlement due to his affectionate attachment for his eldest son, who had negotiated it. As a matter of duty, the king was decorating the city for the marriage ceremony and acting in great earnestness to make it very successful. Verses 8 to 21. King Bhishmaka greets the kingly order. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The king had the main avenues, commercial roads, and intersections thoroughly cleansed and then sprinkled with water. And he also had the city decorated with triumphant archways and multicolored banners on poles. The men and women of the city, arrayed in spotless raiment and anointed with fragrant sandalwood paste, wore precious necklaces, flower garlands, and jeweled ornaments. And their opulent homes were filled with the aroma of aguru. O king, in accordance with prescribed rituals, Maharaj Bhishmaka worshipped the forefathers, demigods, and brahmanas, feeding them all properly. Then he had the traditional mantras chanted for the well-being of the bride. The bride cleansed her teeth and bathed, after which she put on the auspicious wedding necklace. Then she was dressed in brand new upper and lower garments and adorned with most excellent jeweled ornaments. Footnote 20. The other one, did we finish? No, here's. There's something else more here. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the kingdom of Dwarka is situated in the western part of India, and Vidarbha is situated in the northern part. They are separated by a distance of not less than 1,000 miles. But the horses were so fast, they reached their destination, a town called Kundina, within one night, or at most, 12 hours. So that would more suggest the Kundinas on this side of India.
Because Loknath Maharaj is building a temple in Kundinapur.
And where is Kundinapur?
In Vidarbha, northeast Maharashtra. And the
northeast Maharashtra, is that 1,000 miles?
No.
So 1,000 miles, 1,500 kilometers. Mm. So basically that's that side over to this side.
Yeah.
So there's more of a good chance that she was from Assam, where they say, than Maharashtra.
Maybe some different culture. It should be true.
Possible. Mm. That's also possible.
Maybe different Rukmini.
Hmm?
Maybe different Rukmini.
Different Rukmini. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so many options are there. You know, but it's like we said, it's great personalities that every state claims. You know, like I said, it's Bengal, then they have their festival for Jayadev, that he's from here. Then they say he's from Maharashtra, and then they also say, I think he's from somewhere in south.
No.
I'm not sure which state there, but...
Karnataka.
Hmm? Karnataka. And you're from?
Karnataka.
Oh, okay. Karnataka. Yeah, so you have these three places where they say he's from. So, in any case, so either that's, yeah, different kulpas, then he's come from these different places, or just he happened to be walking through the village there in Karnataka, and so then he's from there. Doesn't matter. That they're remembering great personalities, so it's good. Hare Krishna. The best of brahmanas chanted mantras of the Rig, Sama, and Yajurvedas for the bride's protection.
We didn't read the footnotes.
I see. Footnote 20. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, she was made to wear 2 pieces of cloth fresh from the loom. According to the Smriti scriptures, only cloth which is fresh from the loom should be used on auspicious occasions. Right? So it's freshly made, and it's, you know, kept properly, it's clean, but at the same time it's unwashed. Meaning that, one, it's not bleached, and two, then in this case, it's straight off the loom. So all the threads, everything's pure, you type it like that, and then that's considered the most auspicious. So when it says unwashed cloth, that doesn't mean, you know, like the unwashed masses, not that kind of thing. Yes, like how you say, like Oliver Twist, yeah, that was unwashed cloth, but we're not talking about that kind of unwashed cloth.
Is it
yes.
Placed to cotton or silk?
I would say, if anything, because I there's a good chance she's not wearing a cotton sari. Does that make sense? But there's always these 2 pieces of cloth, because then during the wedding ceremony, then the groom gives to the bride 2 pieces of cloth, an upper and lower garment, which then, for her good health, longevity of life, and all these things. And so, depending upon the tradition, in some communities, then she'll go out, leave the assembly, and go put that on, like that. So either the girls are more simple, so it won't take so long, or they have plenty of time, like that. But in South, I think the girl goes and puts those cloths on, at least, you know, like that. But here, then they don't so much. And we never do that. As it is, we were fortunate that she actually showed up on time for the muhurta in the first place, let alone if she goes off again. Yes.
It's supposed to be starched, the cloth of the loom.
It's whatever it comes, it's natural position. So you have to know how to wear cloth. There's other people helping you wear the cloth. You know, and we're talking about a lot of cloth here. As we mentioned, a gagra. A princess's gagra, you know, before, you know, not in recent times, but before, then one gagra was 50 meters of cloth. You know, so that's serious. Yeah. It means the sari would be the regular, depending upon the style, you know, 4.5 to, what is it, 8 meters or 9 meters, depending upon the community. Like that. But from this side over there, then they wouldn't be wearing the 9 meter because they're using the gagra also. So then it would be more like the, you know, the probably more like the 4 meters. Like that.
one would expect there'd be gold in those saris.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of gold. I mean, we went to, we were getting some stones and that for the deities, and there's, you know, families that they just deal in the stone, all the different stones. And so they were arranging for marriage. So because they knew the devotees, that's why then they came and gave them the stuff. Otherwise, they arranged for the marriage. They were not doing that stuff. And they were pointing out that the girl will be wearing 1 kilo of gold. You know, that's just that. And they're business family. Right? So if you're talking about the kings, it might be a bit more. Like that, so... Yeah, you say. Then when the devotees asked the girl, it says, "Isn't that a lot? Isn't that heavy?" She says, "It is heavy. You know, it's heavy. It's in one sense uncomfortable, that kind of thing. But because it's gold, it's fine. You know, it's like babies. They're heavy, but it's fine.
You know, so. Not a burden.
Hmm?
Not a burden.
Not a burden. Yeah. So. Okay. Yes. So that's definitely."
In South, average, even a middle class family, every girl will have around 150 to 200 grams of gold.
For a wedding? Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, it's standard. Well, these are, you know, big Marwari guys, so, like that. Yeah, so if that's a standard person has those few hundred grams, you know, then these business fans, so you can imagine what the kings had, you know, so... Because it mentions about the auspicious wedding necklace. So that's probably those big, wide, you know, things like that. That's itself. No. That'll be put on at the wedding. These are those. Have you seen those things where there's quite wide? They're like this, and they go around like this around the neck. And, you know, then you have the matching earrings, you have the bangles. Yeah. Then most excellent jeweled ornaments. Like that. So that's yeah. I saw one marriage where they were wearing so much jewels, like rubies and emeralds, like that. It was like they were wearing crores of stuff. The girl and her mother. Yeah, so it's.
We used to call it Christmas tree. Christmas tree.
Christmas tree.
Yeah, when somebody dresses like that.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so dazzling.
Yeah, so it's definitely. No, this was serious. Okay. The best brahmanas chanted mantras of the Rig Sama and Yajurvedas for the bride's protection. And the priest learned, and the priest learned it in the Atharva Veda, offered oblations to pacify the controlling planets. Right, so the one would be your general chanting. Atharva Veda is generally not used as a general chanting. It'll be used for specific purposes. So in this case, he's doing the oblations with the Atharva Veda. So all four Vedas are being chanted, but Atharva is being used for the specific things, while then auspicious mantras are being chanted from the other three. Because the Atharva is all the miscellaneous verses that are used for all specific various purposes. Outstanding in his knowledge of regulative principles, the king rewarded the brahmanas with gold, silver, clothing, cows, and sesame seeds mixed with raw sugar. Raja Dhammaghosha, lord of Chedi, had also engaged brahmanas expert in chanting mantras to perform all rituals necessary to assure his son's prosperity. So they're both doing all these, you know, each one's trying to do better than the other. Right? You know. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "This description is given as a joke. Just like Bhishmaka, the king of Chedi, engaged brahmanas, his actions took place not far from Kundina since they were performed the previous day. Bhishmaka's actions were successful because of his eagerness to offer... Bhishmaka's actions were successful because of his eagerness to offer to the Lord. The king of Chedi's actions were useless because he was opposed to the Lord." So that's why it's a joke. He's doing all these things for the prosperity of his son's prosperity, but it didn't really work out overly prosperous. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Shishupal's father was known as Dhammaghosha. Due to his superior ability to cut down unregulated citizens, Dhamma means curbing down, and Kosha means famous. So he was famous for controlling the citizens. Dhammaghosha thought that if Krishna came to disturb the marriage ceremony, he would certainly cut him down with his military power. Right? So because of this, being opposed to Krishna, even though they're following all the regulations nicely, it's all useless. Well, Bhishmaki, he's following them, but, you know, in accordance with pleasing of Krishna, because that's what's actually his desire, then he's successful. Like that. And because Rukmi sided with Dhammaghosha, then he wasn't successful. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. King Dhammaghosha traveled to Kundina accompanied by armies of elephants extruding mada, chariots hung with golden chains, and numerous cavalry and infantry soldiers. Footnote 21. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. It appeared that Dhammaghosha, along with his son and other companions, was going to Kundina not exactly to get Shishupal married, but mainly to fight. Right? Because, you know, because they were expecting Krishna to come and all that, so they made all these arrangements.
Maya.
Yes.
This elephant is which were excluding mother. So is mother a fragrance that is being spoken of?
Is mother a fragrance that the elephants are exuding?
No,
there's two holes on the temples of elephants, at least the male elephants. And at a certain time of the year, then the liquid comes out of those. Like that. So that's the mada. And when that's happening, then they are mada. They're crazy. Yeah, totally. See, these are war. It means an elephant that goes crazy is crazy. Right? It means we just heard, what is this saying? Peter Barton was just saying he was up in Assam, out in the villages there. And because of all the, you know, cutting the forests and all that, then the elephants, then they move around and come close to the villages and go through the villages also. And he says that they come into the villages looking for two things, grains and alcohol, like that. You know, somehow or another, and when they find them, then they go nuts, right? And so in doing so, as they come, because they're big, so that they smell something, they just knock the house down and get at it. And then once they have some alcohol, then they start knocking down other houses just for fun. So if he was at a village where the elephants had been through the night before, like that. And so that's regular elephants, right? So war elephants are monstrous elephants that are just designed, they just have the mentality to take part in war. So they're fearless, they're big, they're crazy already. Then when the mud is there, they're totally crazy. So they have to have very special mahouts. Only the mahouts and the kshatriyas can deal with them. Right, they're not used for anything else. It's not that an elephant's an elephant and you use it for whatever you like. No, there's specifically war elephants that can only be used for that. Then there's work elephants that are just for that, temple elephants that are just for that. Does that make sense? And then within that, I'm sure that there's grades. So being, you know, the king that he is, I'm sure he has the best grade elephants. Like Kuvaliapida. Now that was war elephants. He was a war elephant that was as strong as 1,000 war elephants. Like that. You know, how you say, Bhima would have loved to have bumped into him, right?
Kuvalaya means earth. Kuvalayapida means when he walks, he pushes the earth down.
Okay. Like, what do you call it? Who's that guy? Chuck Norris. Okay. Okay. We've heard about this quality. Yes. So they're special. So when it mentions it specifically, that then you know they're crazy, and so that's why we're also saying here. And then the chariots—it's all decorated nicely because they're coming for a wedding. But at the same time, the volume of what he's bringing—it's for war, right? So they're expecting some. You know, Krishna's going to come, and Krishna just came alone. Right? They come with all their armies.
personality, it seems that many people came to this wedding.
Yeah, no, it's these kind of weddings, everybody comes. It's a big thing. You know, and then to host, you know, we're freaking out. It's like you have a, well, not here, but like in the cities, you know, 1,000, 2,000 guests like that, or, you know, 1,500, yeah. So it's just standard that's what you have there. So you have to arrange the prashad, everything for that, and the accommodations and that. I think it was when Atmatata went for the wedding, Hinduja wedding in Bombay. They invited him because they had so many foreign guests. They needed somebody to explain what was going on.
Okay.
So they invited him to do that, you know. And so, you know, he had people coming in by helicopters. You had the PA to the Queen of England came. She couldn't come herself, but she sent the PA with the suit for the groom. You know, that's the level we're dealing with here. You know, that was the kind of people that came. And so you couldn't get a taxi in Bombay because they hired all the taxis of Bombay like that. You know, all the hotels, all the, you know, it's like, it was just, you know, forget it. Take the train. You know, so that was there. So you can imagine these kings, what they have to put up. They have to actually put up the, like, cities outside to take care of them and host them and feed them. And, you know, because you're going to take care of them, all their who's with them, you know, family and important people. Then you have the military. You have all the animals. You know, all that you have to take care of. So it's a big, big thing. Yeah.
That's why they only married once.
Yes. Very good. Because if there's a second marriage, then... yeah. You see, how you say? In other words, this is the first marriage, and if you want to get married again, then there's always, how you say? Elvis in Vegas at the Little Chapel. Little White Chapel, I think it's called. Yeah, so... Other than that, then forget it. It's not happening again. But... Okay, where are we? Bhishmaka, the lord of Vidarbha, came out of the city and met King Damagosha, offering him tokens of respect. Bhishmaka then settled Damagosha in a residence especially constructed for the occasion. Like that. I've been told that the, you know, this pandal making that you see, and they can, that means regular stuff we get here is not very elaborate, but you can see, like, during the big pujas, like Durga Puja and these, that the pandals they put up, you know, just like palaces. So I've been told that that's what's left of the art of building these temporary residences for when they would, these, you know, the kings, when they would travel. Like when they would move with their armies and they're not in a rush and that, or family, because they would go like that. They would, teams would go ahead and build. So then they would come there and then stay in that for the night, and then the other group's already ahead building the next one, and then that one is taken down, and then it moves like that. They used to do that here with the parikrama. I don't think they do it anymore. I think they have it set up, and there's so many parikrams that they just switch every day. But before it would be, they would do like that. So it's left from that time.
Sometimes you're doing Kumbh Mela.
Yes. Yeah, they build the whole, it's a whole city. It's just, you know. So that's the thing, is they build like that, specially constructed for the occasion. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in the Vedic system of marriage, the bride's father receives the large party of the bridegroom and accommodates them in a suitable place for 2 or 3 days until the marriage ceremony is performed. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Right? So it's all part, it's about, Manu mentions marriage means connecting two families. That's what's going on. That's why you have to be careful to see that it all matches nicely, because you connect these families like that. So that. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Shishupal's supporters, Salva, Jarasandha, Dantavakra, and Vidurata all came, along with Poundrika and thousands of other kings, right? Yeah, so, like, was it that, yeah, I saw one marriage in Bombay, that for the whole arrangements, everything, it was, that cost them 1 crore of rupees. And this was quite a while ago, maybe 8-10 years ago. you know, like that. So you can imagine what the king's spending here. Yeah. To secure the bride for Shishupala, the kings who envied Krishna and Balaram came to the following decision among themselves. Quote, if Krishna comes here with Balaram and the other Yadus to steal the bride, we shall band together and fight him. Thus those envious kings went to the wedding with their entire armies and a full complement of military conveyances. Right, so that's why Prabhupada said they went there more for a fight than for the wedding. So they wanted to make sure that the wedding was going to happen. But it
didn't. They were confident Krishna would support the plan.
Yes, like that. Yes. So the normally they wouldn't go with their full army. They would just go with because they would go with the family and, ministers and a few prominent people like that, which is not a small party. And then they would have a retinue that goes along with that. But they came with that and the full army.
Yeah. It shows the intention.
Yes, it shows the intention. So that's the... Yeah. And then the fun part is, what's his name? Bhishmaka has to take care of all that. Thus those envious kings went to the wedding with their entire armies and a full complement of military conveyances. When Lord Balaram heard about these preparations of the inimical kings and how Lord Krishna had set off alone to steal the bride, he feared that a fight would ensue. Immersed in affection for his brother, he hurried to Kundina with a mighty army consisting of infantry as soldiers riding on elephants, horses, and chariots. Right, so in other words, all four branches of the army. So he hurried and went there, right? Krishna got there one night, and so then he went there. Verses 22-31. Rukmini's anxiety disappears. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that the next 5.5 verses again describe the Purva Rag of Rukmini. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the lovely daughter of Bhishmaka anxiously awaited the arrival of Krishna, but when she did not see the Brahmana return, she thought as follows. Princess Rukmini thought, alas, my wedding is to take place when the night ends. How unlucky I am. Lotus-eyed Krishna does not come. I do not know why. And even the Brahmana messenger has not yet returned. Perhaps the faultless Lord, even while preparing to come here, saw something contemptible in me, and therefore has not come to take my hand. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. She expresses doubt with the word api. At first, he was ready to come, and therefore, because he would bring the Brahmana with him, did not send the Brahmana first. However, at the time of leaving, seeing some fault in my body or intelligence, he gave up his plan. It would be improper for him, who is faultless in body and mind, anavadyatma, to marry me, who am full of faults, and the Brahmana, being unsuccessful, has not come, fearing that I would give up my body. Right? So he was going to come, and then he saw... So there's always these, how you say... Yes, natural anxieties that are there. Means all these perceptions, and then like that. So, but as Jiva Goswami points out, it's a matter of this is the manifestation of her complete attachment to Krishna. Princess Rukmini thought, I am extremely unfortunate, for the Creator is not favorably disposed towards me, nor is the great Lord Shiva, or perhaps Shiva's wife, Devi, who is known as Gauri, Rudrani, Girija and Sati has turned against me. Right? Because they have the worship there at the temple. But then Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Rukmini was thinking of Goddess Durga as Girija, the daughter of the Himavan Mountains. The Himavan Mountains are very cold and hard, and she thought of Goddess Durga as hard-hearted and cold. In her anxiety to see Krishna, Rukmini, who is after all still a child, thought this way about the different demigods. The gopis worship goddess Katyayani to get Krishna as a husband. Similarly, Rukmini was thinking of the various types of demigods, not for material benefit, but in respect to Krishna. Praying to the demigods to achieve the favor of Krishna is not irregular. And Rukmini was fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In this verse, Rukmini speaks with great anxiety again. the Creator is not favorable to me, for He has created some obstacle on Krishna's path. Why is He displeased with me? I cannot understand. Shiva is angered perhaps because of not receiving my worship sometime. But since He is full of such great powers, He would not become angry with an insignificant girl like me. Though I worship her daily, Durga Devi has rejected me. What offense have I done to her that she would reject me? Is this perhaps her very nature? She is the wife of Rudra, Rudrani. Rudra makes people cry, so perhaps she too is making me cry. Seeing my suffering, even to the extent that I will give up my life, why does her heart not melt? There must be some fault in her heritage, being the daughter of a mountain. Girija, how could her heart melt, being so stone-like? She will make me give up my body, I am certain, just as she gave up her body in her previous life, Sati. Right? Because Girija means that she's taken birth from the Himavan, means previously she was Sati. Right, so all these things are going through her mind. They're unnecessary, but they're going through the mind, right? Because of attachment to Krishna. So that's the whole point. So because it's connected to Krishna, there's no fault. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. As she thought in this way, the young maiden whose mind had been stolen by Krishna closed her tear-filled eyes, remembering that there was still time, right? So because the point is, she's saying, my wedding, as soon as the sun comes up, my wedding starts. But yeah, it's only the preliminaries. Right? But the wedding's starting, but Krishna's not here, so that's the anxiety. But at the same time is, no, but there's still preliminaries, so the wedding doesn't happen. The actual formal aspect of the wedding's not till afterwards. So once that's done, then it's too late. But in the preliminaries, then something can go on. Like she suggested herself that the day before, she goes to visit the temple, and then either going there or coming back at that time, if he kidnaps her, then there won't be any problem, because you know, the ladies and all that of the house and all that won't be there. All that will be there is that, you know, the her small retinue and the soldiers, and then all the other kings that are there with their military. So if there's a fight there, there's no problem, right?
So marriage, it was preliminary. That's where Rukmini has been to the Durga.
But she hasn't gone yet.
She hasn't gone yet.
No. That's what we're saying. It's about to start.
Yes.
Because Domagosha's just called up. The other kings have just shown up. They've been received. Yes. Krishna's just come from the night, but they've already been received. So he's actually coming a little after. Right? So they probably came the evening before. He's coming in the morning. But she's thinking in the morning, you know, before the sun's gone, that he hasn't come yet. Why she hasn't heard?
Yes.
Right? But the point is that he just went. He just got the message the day before. Right? this is the whole point, is that they're so absorbed in Krishna that these kind of things are a natural point of her attachment to Krishna. Yes. So in the spiritual platform, this is all very wonderful.
Yes.
Right? In the material platform, this is the basis of how you say? Yes. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. So she'll go back and forth between, oh, why he hasn't come, and oh, but there's still time, and all that, you know. So in other words, of having that hope and then having lost all hope and like that. So that's just, oh, these are all just Sanchari Babas of her attachment to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Even though she pacified herself by thinking that the time for Govinda to arrive had not yet expired, Rukmini felt that she was hoping against hope. Not expressing her mind to anyone, she simply shed tears, unobserved by others. And when her tears became more forceful, she closed her eyes in helplessness. Footnote 22. When you sent the messenger with your most confidential plan, and yet I delayed going to you, you began to see the whole world as void and wanted to quit your body, which could never have been given to anyone but me. May this greatness of yours remain with you always. I can do nothing to reciprocate except joyfully thank you for your devotion. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-57. So that's coming up in
future. Krishna
pleases Rukmini. Yeah, a few chapters after. While Rukmini was in such deep thought, auspicious symptoms appeared in different parts of her body. Right, so she's in anxiety, but then these auspicious symptoms come. Right. So that means then she has to look more on the hopeful side rather than on the, you know, the how you say?
Hopeless.
The whole world is void side. Right? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O king," yeah, so basically you have full or void. Nothing in between. means in other words, the taste is in these two. Whatever's in the middle, that's the men can have that. Like that. Yeah. But these two ends, these are exclusively reserved. Yes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O king, as the bride thus awaited the arrival of Govinda, she felt a twitch in her left thigh, arm, and eye. This was a sign that something desirable would happen." Right. So for the girl, then the left side of the body is auspicious. For the boy, it's the right side. Okay. Just then, the purest of learned brahmanas, following Krishna's order, came to see the divine princess Rukmini within the inner chambers of the palace. Footnote 23. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Sri Krishna had reached the gardens outside the city, and out of concern for Rukmini, he had instructed the Brahmin to tell her of his arrival. Right? Because he came without being known, like that. And so, but he sent the Brahmin because otherwise she wouldn't know he's there. So out of concern that she'll be in anxiety. Noting the Brahmin's joyful face and serene movements, saintly Rukmini, who could expertly interpret such symptoms, inquired from him with a pure smile. Because these are all the things that they're trained in. The Kshatriyas, you know, the Brahmins, they learn. This is one of the principles you have to be able to tell from the mood, the gait, all these different things. There's, I think Manu mentions about five or seven different aspects you have to know. One of them is called aspect. Right, you know, so that you have to know that, and that's how you tell, even in the court, what is something, because how they come forward, all the different things, the different aspects of the omens, then you can tell what's happening, then you can deal accordingly. So then she could tell by how he was dealing, because otherwise, if it didn't work, then he wouldn't come with a joyful face and serene movements, right? He'd be more, you know. Yeah, dark face, looking down, you know, all these kind of things. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, "I, Sunanda Brahmana, have come now from your beloved. Please cast your glance upon me," said the Brahmana in a loud voice. Rukmini, her meditation broken, and then saw him standing there. Because the Brahmana's mind was not disturbed, he was smiling broadly. Seeing that, Rukmini's anxiety disappeared, because she was knowledgeable of omens indicating success. The joy in the Brahmana's eyes and smile, and the quivering of the left side of her body. She then smiled slightly, indicating her genuine joy. Previously, she had been falsely smiling to hide her inner suffering. Right? Because everybody would be, you know, asking, oh, tomorrow's a wedding, this, yes. That, so she has to smile, right? You know, because otherwise then, you know, people, you know, it's not going to work so well. But now this is a real smile. Like that, so. Right? So in other words, a smile is not a smile. Like that. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The Brahmana announced to her the arrival of Lord Yadunandana and relayed the Lord's promise to marry her. Princess Vidarbhi was overjoyed to learn of Krishna's arrival. Not finding anything at hand suitable to offer the Brahmana, she simply bowed down to him." Right, because this is when she's first gotten up and everything. So it's not that she has all kinds of stuff there. Otherwise, that's the time that they give necklaces and all these different kinds of things. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, "The significance of offering respectful obeisances to a superior is that the one offering obeisances is obliged to the respected person." In other words, Rukmini implied that she would remain ever grateful to the Brahmana. Anyone who gets the favor of the goddess of fortune, as did this Brahmana, is without a doubt always happy in material opulence. Srila Jivaka. So, through devotional service, then he gets all the benefit. He's not separately trying to get some money. Right? He didn't, you know, say, you know, okay, you know, he wanted a little something before he sets off, and when he gets to Krishna, hey, you know, I come all this way, you know, hint, hint, you know, none of this stuff. He just does his service. And then from that, all the benefits come. That's the whole point. You do your occupational duties, everything works properly. You don't have to worry about separate. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, understanding was certainly that he had come in an excited mood. She did not see anything suitable to offer the Brahmana. Later she gave him many gifts. When she was in Dwarka, she possessed infinite wealth and gave him infinite gifts. She did not offer respects previously because she forgot due to her bliss. Right? Because otherwise then, you know, she sees all the symptoms, he's smiling. She should have offered obeisances right then, but she didn't. They had the exchange, and then afterwards, then she wanted to offer something, didn't find something, so just offered obeisances. But later in Dwarka, then he was taken care of with everything. So it appears that when she went to Dwarka, he also went along with her. Right? Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Or, not seeing any suitable item to give him to repay him for what she had received, she felt defeated and just offered respects. Right, so it may have been she offered respects, but then now this one's being mentioned. The first one, if it was there, wasn't mentioned, but this, in this case, is mentioned in connection with not seeing another suitable gift. Therefore, she just offered obeisances. So it's either this is due to her joy only now she offered, or due to not her joy not seeing suitable things to give, then something says, yeah, can work in either way. Verses 32 to 39. Vaidar Bhavasis shower their blessings on Rukmini. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the king, upon hearing that Krishna and Balaram had come and were eager to witness his daughter's wedding, went forth with abundant offerings to greet them as music resounded. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, the king announced that the two had come for the wedding. It appeared that they had come like everyone else to see the wedding of his daughter to Shishupal. Because that's what he said. He was eager to witness the daughter's wedding. They didn't understand that it would be, you know, directly first hand and with the emphasis on hand. You know. But thus, Krishna followed Rukmini's instructions and kept his motive secret. So he came without them knowing, because once he's already there, there's no need. Because if he was coming, then they could fight with him outside, and he doesn't get there. But he's already inside, and he's already there. You know, meeting the king. So, and it's been announced that he's come to, to witness, not, you know, the wedding, you know, like that. So then, you know, then they'll kind of be a little bit more reserved, right? Because it's already in the city now, right? Thus Krishna followed Rukmini's instructions and kept his motive secret while being surrounded by his troops. The king felt very fortunate that the two had come to see the marriage of his daughter, though he was not qualified at all. Or he secretly felt that actually Krishna should take her away. He worshipped them with the best items of worship. So in either case, he doesn't feel qualified because, you know, Krishna's so great, he's just a simple devotee, you know, he's just a king. And so then he's feeling that, but at the same time he's secretly wishing that Krishna would take his daughter away. But in any case, they're going to go through the formalities for the proper wedding, but if something happens, then what can you do? It is Kshatriyas, right? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, presenting them with Madhuparka, new clothing and other desirable gifts. He worshipped them according to standard rituals, right? So a great personality like this comes, you know, then Madhuparka is one of the items offered. So, you know, the offering a seat, washing the feet, doing all these things, but Madhuparka means then it's very special. right? Just coming and all that, the respecting, giving a seat, that's standard. Mm-hmm. Then more elevated than washing the feet, more elevated than the argya is offered, more elevated than the madhuparka is given. Like that.
And what is madhuparka?
The madhuparka, it's a combination of, I think it's honey, yogurt, and I can't remember what the third ingredient is. Honey, yogurt? Ghee. Something like that. And so then that's offered. It's called an achman. You know, how you say? Pundits may agree with this or not, but it's an achman. And so it's madhuparka, and then afterwards you do achman. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the main achman. And then all other achmans after that are punarachman. But the two go together. So it's an achman, and then you do an achman. So it's like this. So you take, I think it's the middle finger. They hold the bowl, present the bowl, take the middle finger of the right hand, just slightly dip it to, you know, get a drop, and then one drop is thrown forward, backwards, you know, to the cardinal directions, and then one drop is thrown into the mouth. So that's an achman. And then you do wash your hands and then do achman. Like that. So the whole thing is madhuparka achman, means they go together. Does that make sense? You know, some contest it's not an achman, and it's just like, don't bother. Prabhupada said it's an achman, it's an achman. Like that.
And if it's not an achman, then what it is?
Well, according to the one who complained, then generally he gives the, you know, big Vyas pujas, then he'll give them like a, you know, like a smoothie or a milkshake, and then they drink that. So, absolutely not understanding what it is. Not understanding at all. But what to do?
Then in deity worship, when we say, when we offer the Lord madhuparka, then that is again achman only for the Lord also.
Yeah, so you mean you're doing, offering the madhuparka and then the achman.
Oh.
But the madhuparka itself is an achman. Mm. So the point is it can be called madhuparka achman, meaning it's an achman, or madhuparka achman goes with achman. So you're not going to say madhuparka achman achman. So you just say madhuparka achman. Like that. Yeah. Presenting them with madhuparka, new clothing, and other desirable gifts, he worshipped them according to standard rituals. Generous King Bhishmaka arranged opulent accommodations for the two lords, and also for their army and entourage. In this way, he afforded them proper hospitality. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Bhishmaka is described as generous, mahatmatihi, because he was contented in his heart, knowing that Krishna had come to marry his qualified daughter. Therefore, he worshipped Krishna elaborately. Mm-hmm. Right? The others, you just mentioned, he received them and everything nicely appropriate for their position. But we see with Krishna that then worshipped them, you know, fully as he would, you know, as for a great personality.
Maharaj, like we see the case of Bhishmaka at this particular situation, that though he wants to do something which is like not favorable, then like he being the king. But
his son has made the arrangement out of affection, because the son is, you know, he'll be the, how do you say, what do they call it? Is he called the crown prince? Or the, what do you mean when they're going to be the next king? Is that crown prince? Yeah, so he's the crown prince. So then naturally, he's made the arrangement. So you kind of, I mean, in other words, managers respect managers. Managers that don't respect managers aren't actually managers. You understand? Like bureaucrats don't respect managers because they think it's the paperwork that makes everything happen. Right? Does that make sense? Because I signed the paper, that's why the project happened. Like that. Yeah, it's a problem. So
still hiding it, he could behave in a way which is appropriated to the situation. And then internally, his wishes...
Yes, means he's going along with it. That's what he would like, because that's what they originally wanted and would be moving in that direction. But then Rukmi, because of his bad association, then his friends are all the ones that are inimical to Krishna. So therefore, he didn't want to see, you know, not that it couldn't be agreed that it would be a good marriage. It's just that why should my sister marry Krishna, who's the, you know, the enemy of my friends? So just out of that, then he'll make a different arrangement. You know, because we'll see as it comes up, even the citizens of the city see it's much better arrangement. The king, who is more qualified than Rukmi, sees it's a better arrangement. You know what I'm saying? Goddess Lakshmi herself sees it's a good arrangement. So it's got to be good, right? Mm-hmm. Like that. So it's just a matter of you have that aspect because of that attachment. That's the weakness. Because you have duties that should be done, but then because of the personal dealings, then they may not always go right. Does that make sense? But personal dealings are important because that's the whole purpose of everything else. But the personal dealings are supposed to be in connection with Krishna. That's the actual purpose of personal dealings and duties and all these things. So we see for him, then it's in the right context. But at the same time, as he has his externally, his duties as the king and his interaction with his son. So,
actually, Maharaj, Bhishmaka seems to be an exceptional case because fathers are usually very much attached to their daughter.
Fathers are attached to the daughters.
Yeah, but he's attached to his son.
Yes, but because the son, he is the crown prince. You know, we see is that they take care very nicely because in other words, the daughter will get married and will go away.
Yes.
The son's going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So having a good relationships, good. Right, the daughter's already been good because it's been there. She's been in the house, so it's all going to be nice. And then she'll go away and be taken care of there. But for the son, he'll stay in the house. So he's going to grow up. He's going to take care of everything and all that. Right? He's going to be the next king. So, yeah. So if this is connected to Krishna, it's good. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's mundane. That's the whole. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus it was that Bhishmaka gave all desirable things to the kings who had assembled for the occasion, honoring them as befitted their political power, age, physical prowess, and wealth. Right? So considering that, we want their kings, so that's going to be a consideration. But within that, then they had to see their political power, age, physical prowess, and wealth, and accordingly offer respects. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that in doing that, then you have to really use your intelligence. So the modern thing, you only use your intelligence for skills, for getting things done. But here you had to use intelligence for relationships. Because if you could do this, then you could deal properly with you know, the different various individuals. You know, family, community members, all this kind of things. Even those who you work with, all that could be done nicely. But if you can't do this, then you won't be able to do that. That's why the modern concept is just what's practical to get the work done, no sentiment, and that's considered superior. When actually anybody can do that. You know what I'm saying? Small children, they see something they want, they just go for it. They don't care what anybody says. People tell them, no, you can't do that, that's proper, what about this? What? They don't care. But somehow or another, when you're that age, oh, that's immature. But then, you know, you get bigger and have a degree, then suddenly now that's perfect management. It's like, well, how does that work? You know, does that make sense? You know, it's like the kid knocks over something, it's not good. But then now if an adult knocks it over, now it's considered, oh, that's high class. No, it's still just as stupid. So that's the problem, is that the mode of ignorance makes things reverse when actually they have no reality like that. Yes?
We see often execution of our duties clashes with the personal relationship with other devotees.
Yes.
So how can we...
That you have to think about it and try to figure out how to make that work. That's actually the most important aspect. That's why it's the most difficult. That's the point. The knowledge and skills is actually the easy part. It's technical. It takes work. It takes effort and time. But it's not as easy as relationships. I mean, it's not as difficult as relationships. So therefore, using the intelligence like that, that's why then, from the very beginning, a child is trained in character and proper behavior and relationships. And so like that, then they grow up, then they can start to discriminate and figure out how to do that. So that means you have to get something done. You may have to go speak with people beforehand about how it's going to work and this and that, and then try to work out something. Maybe you have to make some adjustment of the plan, but you know what your goal is, what you have to get, but you also have to know the environment that you're working in and the people you're working with. So that's the point, is that the Vedic conception is management is so much bigger because it includes relationships, while the modern management is actually quite narrow because it doesn't. You know, so that's why in the modern thing you can replace most people with machines, because it doesn't matter. But in the Vedic, you can't. Machines wouldn't be able to work that out. Because you have to be able to do it on the moment, and that you have to be able to see. Because I meet the king, I deal with him in one way, but I meet him, the king, with another king. Now if I just meet this king on his own, then I can deal very naturally. But I meet him with another king, then how do I deal? Because it's very rare they'll be exactly equals. So that means I have to be able to accommodate their difference in position and stature, at the same time make them both happy. Right? So Duryodhana, you see, on the political platform, he was good at that. Like in the first chapter of Gita, then how he's telling that, you know, he's talking about Drona, but then, you know, Bhishma, everyone should support Bhishma, you know, so that Drona feels good and this and that. So he's trying to, you know, and you know, he does. It works, but because it's not about Krishna, it's self-centered. There, everyone does it because it was done nicely, but at the same time, as it doesn't have that taste, it doesn't cultivate the relationships. But you see that when Yudhishthira and the Pandavas deal in this way, then everybody's inspired, everyone's enlivened, it deepens the relationships. So we can see here Bhishmaka, because he's a devotee, then it has it everybody's happy. You don't hear that anybody was upset with him. So it is something to consider. So how much one can deal with, how much then one has to use the intelligence, and if one's aware of that, then with time one will get better and better at it, so that you'll know what things have to be done beforehand. It's just like a king, before he has a major meeting on a particular topic, he actually meets with each minister individually to find out what's their mood. Then knowing that, when they go into the main meeting, then he can control the thing, because he knows, because sometimes someone's not going to say something because someone else has said something and they don't feel like commenting, or does that make sense? But you already know that they have that feeling. You already know their idea. And then you're taking that all, putting it together into something, and then presenting that. Then now everybody is on board with something that matches everybody. Now you'll get an excellent meeting. But when you go into this meeting's cold, they never really work out that good. That they don't kill each other, that's considered a good meeting. Yeah, the Vedic is, no, it should be progressive. So that's why you have to personally deal. And then, does that make sense? So you have to consider that aspect. Now he's saying the modern, oh, but that's a waste of time, we can just have one meeting. No, you can't. You actually can't, because people don't talk in a meeting like that. But individually, they will talk. Like that. And if their point has already been presented, then they'll talk. You know, so if the king goes there and says, you know, okay, you know, this is what we're doing, so I was thinking this, 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 he's mentioned everybody's points. Yes. Now they all feel confident that it's good, the king's mentioned it, now they'll all talk. And because all of them have heard it, and the king will put it together into something practical, you know, or at least what's to the point we have to discuss, or what's the weakness or strength, then everybody will see it in that context. Otherwise, they'll just see it in their own mind. Does that make sense? So it's actually a very efficient way to run a meeting. You know? So it's that you have both. Because either it's you go into the meetings cold and that's it, or they lobby before the meetings and the meeting doesn't matter. So, but no, you have to do both. Is that...
Does the honor for Kshatriyas go in the sequence that is mentioned here?
Political power, age, physical prowess, wealth. Yeah, I would think so. It means age is the lower, but at the same time as you have to, because age will mean experience in all these things. So it's one of the things. Yeah, because point is, even if he doesn't have any wealth, but if he's way more powerful than you, then you would take that as important. You know, age generally means that they're experienced. So, yeah, you know, this guy just, you know, how you say, got trained, you know, in the Gurukul, and now this guy's, you know, been at so many wars. Now, which one are you going to, right? You know, it's like a, what do you call it? Can't remember what it was. I think it was Richard II when he went for a crusade. I don't know which crusade it was, but he went for one of the crusades. And so then going to Jerusalem, then the first thing he did was try to find the person who had defended Jerusalem before him and ask him if he would come.
Yes.
Because he has experience. He knows the kingdom, he knows the enemy, he knows everything. So that's important. So, does that make sense? And if you have political power, even if you don't have the others, then you're good. Well, what's his name? Chanakya. He brought down the kingdom, without, you know, any force. No wealth, no physical prowess. No, you know, like that. So just that. So that's the most important. Is what's the influence? So that's the point. You know, it's like Bhima has greater physical prowess than, let's say, Yudhishthir, but Yudhishthir has greater political prowess. Like that. Yeah. When the residents of Vidarbhapura heard that Lord Krishna had come, they went to see him with the cupped palms of their eyes. They drank the honey of his lotus face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to get that one in Vedanta Sutra.
You only get the cup.
You only get the cup, and it's upside down.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Bhairava ki